We're on the record. I'm senior producer Melissa Geer in for Sheila Cast. Good morning. At the time of the American Revolution and the early decades of the next century, some African-American families in Prince George's County sued in colonial and state courts for their freedom, and several won. Historian William G. Thomas III told On the Record about them in his 2020 book, A Question of Freedom. Since then, Thomas and two colleagues created a remarkable documentary, the searing account of an enslaved family in the first part of the 19th century in Washington, D.C., their determination to be free, and how America's legal system betrayed them. The Bell Affair centers on Mary and Daniel Bell and their six children. The film is now available on demand through Amazon, so we're revisiting the conversation our host, Sheila Cast, had in May 2022 with the filmmakers and with descendants of one of the Bell's children. Sheila spoke first with Thomas and his colleague at the University of Nebraska, Waquetel Dreyer, who directed and co-wrote The Bell Affair. An actor, playwright, and screenwriter, Dreyer is associate professor of English at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
Well, of all the families whose histories you've researched, what struck you about Daniel and Mary Bell?
Well, the Daniel and Mary Bell story is incredible, first of all. This is a family, the Bell family, that over the course of 25 years brought seven different freedom suits. One of them went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in the case of Daniel and Mary Bell, the courts ruled against them, and they eventually led an escape attempt on the Pearl, a schooner that sailed out of Washington, D.C. in April 1848. The Bell family was the largest family on board. There were 11 of them, and three generations of them were on the Pearl. And so their story is important in American history in so many ways.
Well, Keita, what drew you to this project?
The family dynamic drew me to the project, and the way in which you had husband and wife working together. It was an ambitious project to get done.
As we get to know the Bell family, Daniel is an enslaved worker in the Washington Navy Yard's iron foundry, and his wife Mary is enslaved by a man named Robert Armstead. Well, tell us briefly what happens when Daniel learns that Robert Armstead is quite ill.
Sure. Daniel worked with Robert Armstead at the Navy Yard. And so Daniel had been working at the Navy Yard for probably 10 or 11 years. And in the summer of 1835, Daniel and Mary Bell had been married for 11 years, probably, and they had six children. All of the six children were held in slavery by Robert Armstead, who also enslaved Mary. Children were enslaved by the slaveholder of the mother, and so Daniel Bell must have known Robert Armstead quite well. And at some point in the summer of 1835, he began negotiating with Robert Armstead to try to emancipate or liberate Mary and the six children. Now, Daniel himself was enslaved. He was enslaved by another person. We don't know the name of the enslaver who held him in bondage, but Daniel clearly attempted to negotiate for Mary's and the children's freedom. And Robert Armstead does, in fact, sign and notarize a deed of manumission, a deed freeing Mary immediately and freeing the children at various ages. So they would be enslaved for some period of time, a term, and then they would be free upon the conclusion of that term. That was not unusual at the time in Maryland in particular. But the point here is that Mary was free immediately. And 2 days after Robert Armstead signed this deed of manumission, he died. And at that moment, his widow, Susan Armstead, clearly decided that she would try to renege or overturn this deed of manumission. She would try to claim that Robert Armstead was not of sound mind, that he couldn't have signed this deed of manumission, freeing Mary and the six children.
Right. And of course, that is sort of the dramatic arc of your documentary, how that plays out. One of the most upsetting scenes in the film is Armstead's widow, Susan, having the Bell's children appraised as chattel. Well, Keitel, chattel is not a word we use much these days. What does it mean?
It means that the person is not thought of as a person, more at an animal. It extracts humanity and personhood from the person.
So I want us to hear part of this scene where the appraiser says he knows that Robert Armstead signed a deed to free Mary and her children, and Armstead's widow argues the deed is not legitimate, and to go ahead and appraise them.
Mistress Armstead, if I may, I am aware of the deed of manumission for this chattel of Mary and her increase, duly signed and notarized by your husband 2 days before his death.
And are you aware that my husband, Robert Armstead, signed the deed of manumission under duress? He was not of sound mind. The Negro deceived him while he was on his sickbed, intent on robbing him of his property. It's not legitimate.
Then when the appraiser gets to little Caroline, she bites his hand.
I will not jump for you. I will not dance for you.
You unholy, spirited animal.
I'm Caroline Bell. I belong to my mother and father, Mary Daniel.
Well, Keitel, talk about how you conceived of and wrote that scene and what historical record you based it on.
I based it, the historical record comes from Will's research. Of course, I fleshed it out in a particular way. The appraisal did take place. I tried to imagine what would be said, how it would take place, and how would the children interact with being touched. I imagined them, the parents, Mary and Daniel Bell, teaching them that they are owned by their parent, that they are a person, or they are persons, that they are theirs. They are, she's Caroline Bell. So when this happens, she asserts her own authority. This little girl asserts her own authority. She doesn't want to be touched, leave me alone. And so to me, that was a very powerful play for her, because generally in our visual culture, when the plantation genre is filmed, children are crying, they're holding on to their mother, they don't want to be taken away, the mother is crying. That did indeed happen. However, I wanted to show a different way in which children respond to being touched by someone other than their own parent.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Keitel Dreyer, who directed the documentary film The Bell Affair. Historian William G. Thomas III is also with us. The third member of the production team is supervising producer Michael Burton, who also teaches at the University of Nebraska. Well, we see the judge rule in favor of widow Susan Armstead, decreeing that Mary and her children are not free. That's one of the several courtrooms you take us into. Courtrooms are a big challenge in a video. Why did you feel it was important?
I felt it was important because there were so many freedom suits, and we haven't really thought a lot about or seen many scenes from courts and enslaved people petitioning for their freedom. But there were hundreds of freedom suits, thousands in the United States. And I think these court scenes are important because they show us enslaved people as historical actors, as political actors, as knowledgeable in the law, as in fact claiming freedom for themselves, seizing freedom in the moment for themselves. So we need to see this part of American history differently. Enslaved people, not as nameless and faceless, but as real people acting in history who are clearly attempting to claim freedom from day one of the United States. And this film tries to do that.
It is a fact, Will, that the same Francis Scott Key who wrote The Star-Spangled Banner was the U.S. attorney, the chief federal prosecutor in the District of Columbia in the 1830s. But you go beyond that fact to show how his thinking about freedom for Black people changed. What was the change and what did you base it on?
Well, we based it on his own words. Key in the 1830s as the U.S. district attorney begins talking about his prior activity in representing enslaved families in freedom suits as a mistake. I mean, he suggests that freedom is unwarranted for Black people and that freedom instead diminishes Black people. And so he can't see a future in which there is Black freedom in America. And his solution, of course, is colonization. He advocates for the American Colonization Society to send free Blacks to Liberia. But in the 1830s, especially in this moment when Daniel and Mary Bell are suing for freedom, Key has his views have begun to harden. And like his brother-in-law, Roger Taney, who would become Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, he is not an advocate at that point for Black freedom.
Well, Keitel, there is such a contrast between watching Key talk to his sister and brother-in-law, Justice Taney, the one who would write the Dred Scott decision that African-American slaves had no rights, such a contrast with what you show us of the Bells family thirst for freedom. I want listeners to hear some of the tense family discussion in 1848 when they know of a ship preparing to take enslaved people from the District of Columbia to freedom in Pennsylvania. Daniel's mother warns it's dangerous talk, and then we hear him answer.
This freedom making, Daniel, it takes steadfast, immovable faith. Faith in your planning, faith in your mind, and in everything it takes to see it through. Do you have it, son?
Faith. The faith I have is in the making of freedom for this, our family. It's all I have. It's all we have. My mind is on it, stayed on it. And by divine right, we shall have it.
Well, Keitel, as that unfolds, many people watching won't know that the Pearl Escape is about to fail and the escapees will be re-enslaved. How could you write of such faith?
One of the things that, for me, I've always thought about when it comes to freedom making, what are the conversations that go on behind closed doors before the act even happens? You don't wake up one morning and say, hey, let's get our clothes and go. There has to be plan. I imagine there has to be planning. You have to know the roads. You have to know the point places. And I wanted to explore the conversation at a table held by a family that is going to make their freedom.
Well, Keitel, the visual effect of this film is striking. And I know supervising producer Michael Burton is the mastermind behind that. He's not in this conversation. Tell me just a little bit about how you did it during the pandemic.
Well, we scheduled Zoom meetings, Zoom table reads. I directed each actor via Zoom because we were set up to go to another space. And they had to shut it down because of COVID. And Michael came to the fore and said, we're going to do this. And this is how we're going to do it.
Will, what do you hope viewers take from the film?
Well, I hope they'll take the idea that there were enslaved people who acted for themselves. I think we should think about American history differently with regard to slavery. I mean, how many enslaved people can you name? Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Daniel and Mary Bell. We need stories. We need stories like this that tell us the full history of American history, including slavery.
Thank you both for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
actor and playwright Waquita Dreher co-wrote and directed the documentary The Bell Affair about an enslaved family's struggle for freedom in the 19th century. Historian William G. Thomas III co-wrote the film. Quick break, and then what happened to Daniel and Mary Bell's children? I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm producer Melissa Geer in for Sheila Cast. On a dark night in April 1848 at the Washington, D.C. dock, Mary Bell, her children and grandchildren, crowded with scores of other enslaved people onto the schooner The Pearl, their hearts set on freedom. But winds gusted against the largest peaceful escape attempt in U.S. history. The next morning, The Pearl was stopped and towed back to Washington, and angry owners sold many of the enslaved. Mary Bell and her husband Daniel found allies to pool enough money, probably several hundred dollars, to buy freedom for her and their youngest child. Daniel's own freedom had been bought years earlier. But at least four of their children were sold. One of them, Mary Ellen, was 19 when she and several siblings were handed over to slave traders in Baltimore. She was sold to a cotton plantation near Vicksburg, Mississippi. Today, we're listening back to our host, Sheila Cast's conversation from May 2022 about The Bell Affair, an animated documentary about the harrowing story of the Bell family, who fought to save their family from slavery. The film is now available to stream on Amazon. Sheila spoke with Mary Ellen Bell's descendants, April Green, Mary Ellen's great-great-great-great-granddaughter, and her daughter, Jasmine Green. So, April, tell me how you come to know your family history going back so far.
Well, it's always been a hobby of mine. Back maybe 2012 is when I started using Ancestry.com to kind of document and archive family history and documents. We've always just kind of passed everything down word of mouth, but, you know, with new technology, we were able to have it right there at our fingertips.
Jasmine, I watched a beautiful iPhone video that you made for a family reunion about the generations of your family who sharecropped on the Ball Ground plantation. Tell me a little about that.
Yes. So I'm 24 years old, and over the course of my life, I've heard this story, you know, told so many times. But our family, you know, after slavery, they moved on to sharecropping, as most African-American families did. And they were there on Ball Ground Plantation. And Mom, join in if I'm missing anything.
I mean, that's how we grew up. My mom actually participated in sharecropping. And my mom was born in 1956. She didn't do much, but she was still able to hand out water. And of course, these people were getting paid pennies. But even now, you know, it's happening. People still live on that very same plantation. It's called Bruce's Plantation in Ball Ground, Mississippi. And they live there and they have a small paycheck, and some of the deduction from their check is rent. So they stay on the land what feels like for free, but actually the money comes out of their checks to stay on the land. Some people just still live there. A lot of us, 90% of us are gone, but you still have a small percentage of people who still live there right now, and they are still participating in some form of sharecropping.
And despite their circumstances, you know, they still get up every day and they find their strength, you know, in their ancestors' unflinching fight for freedom.
You, Jasmine, described a beautiful philosophy among families on the sharecropping plantation. What is that?
That, you know, no matter what I have, you know, it's yours as well. It's just all about family.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Jasmine Green and her mother, April Green, about a family history that stretches back to Mary and Daniel Bell, whose story is told in the new film, The Bell Affair. Jasmine, I understand that the first time you applied to law school, you were not accepted, and you reached into your family history to take your next step. What did you do?
Yes, that's correct. And I don't think that most people realize that graduate admissions are tough. It is not an easy process, but through my great-grandfather's life, you know, I found so much strength, you know, in his determination and resiliency. So, you know, just after finding out so much information, you know, and adding it to what I'd already known, it was just, it really taught me that, you know, the essence of obstacles is to strengthen yourself to go beyond your limits. So I really found strength from that. And I actually found out a few days ago that I had been accepted into the Council on Legal Education and Opportunities, is CLEO program, and I'll be attending law school in the fall.
April, how did you hear that a movie was being made about your forebears, Mary and Daniel Bell?
Probably 2018, I started, because on Ancestry, you have the option to click hints, and any document that is tied to a particular person on your tree will show up. So I saw an article about Daniel Bell. I believe the name of it is Oh Say Can You See? And I read that, and I was like, wow, people know about Daniel Bell. And, you know, I had no idea that people knew about his plight. And so Jasmine, in her digging for information about Daniel Bell here recently, said, Mom, they wrote a book and it has our great, great, great grandfather in it. And I was like, are you sure? She said, yes. So we are all in an uproar about this book being made. So she's still researching so that she can have information for her paper. About 2 weeks later, she said, Mom, I know you're not going to believe me, but they're doing a movie. I said, there's no way. She said, they are doing a movie. She said, I'm going to reach out to the theater. So she got in touch with the theater, who in turn got Mr. Will Thomas in touch with her. I was actually fishing. What a southern thing to be doing, when Will called me. And she said, Mom, I have Mr. Thomas on the phone. And we got in contact that way. And it was just tears and goosebumps when I spoke with him.
Will Thomas, the historian on this project. And April, you're planning to come to Maryland for the movie's premiere in 2 weeks?
Yes, I will be there. My daughter, my mom. We have two others in our family who are just avid historians. They will also be there. I think we're up to about 12 people from all around the country who are descendants who will be in attendance on the 2nd.
April, what does this history mean to you?
The feeling, there's a lot of pride, the dignity that he had, to know that that's in my DNA. I mean, I feel unstoppable. You really can't allow defeat to stop you when you know the things that your forefathers have gone through. I can't, it's hard for me to put into words.
And Jasmine, how about you?
I think that this is just, like my mom says, it's really hard to put into words how you can feel about something this, you know, grand. But I really feel like it has taught me, and I'm sure many other members of my family, that, you know, life's challenges are inevitable, but they are meant to be conquered through resiliency and determination.
I'm grateful to you both for talking to us about it. It's very exciting. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Sheila.
This has been an encore presentation of On the Record. The Bell Affair is now available to stream on demand through Amazon. April Green is the great-great-great-great-granddaughter of one of Daniel and Mary Bell's daughters, and Jasmine Green is her daughter. When Daniel Bell died in 1877, Mary Ellen and several of her siblings were mentioned in his will, an indication that most of the family reconnected after the Civil War. Since our host, Sheila Cast, spoke with them, Jasmine has been accepted at Washburn University Law School in Topeka, Kansas. And more than 2 dozen Bell relatives came to the premiere of The Bell Affair in Hyattsville. Jasmine said some relatives there she'd known for years, and some who are descendants of other children of Daniel and Mary Bell she met for the first time. I'm Melissa Geer. Thanks for joining us on The Record. Come back tomorrow. Thank you.